I want to read to you from the breviary what is said about the establishment of the Feast of the Sacred Heart. At length, in 1765, Pope Clement XIII gave approval to an office and mass in honor of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. Then Pius IX extended the feast to the entire church. That was in the 19th century. After that, devotion to the Most Sacred Heart spread over the whole world, submerging all obstacles like a river in flood. At the turn of the new century, with a jubilee year proclaimed, Leo XIII determined to dedicate the human race to the Most Sacred Heart. This consecration took place with solemn ceremonies in all Catholic churches of the world. It has occasioned a remarkable growth of this devotion, drawing to it whole peoples as well as individual families. Great numbers of these dedicated themselves to the Divine Heart and put themselves under their King's control. Finally, to make the solemnity of the feasts correspond more fully with the devotion of the Christian people, now so widespread, Pope Pius XI raised it to the rank of a double of the first class with an octave. That octave was removed in 1962. Moreover, he ordered that on this day each year an act of reparation be recited in all churches of the Christian world. The purpose of this was to make satisfaction for the violence done to the rights of Christ as greatest of kings, most loving of lords, and by so doing to show contrition for the sins of all men. In our generation, even while the devotion to the Sacred Heart was very great among the people, we have seen a very calamitous inversion of the whole idea. The lesson which Christ attempted to teach the people in this devotion is that of his inexhaustible love. And Christ comes to us showing his heart aflame with love and circled in thorns. And he does this in order to assure us that if it would do any good, he would die again for us. Then the modernists and liberals got their hands on the idea, and they, as they have done everything, perverted the love of God and the love of Christ for us in this fashion. They have so overemphasized the love of God for us that they have distorted it. We are familiar with a distorted love because our world is full of parents who love their children to death, as they say. Their love turns into a caricature. They love their children so much that they spoil their children rotten on the one hand, and they degrade themselves on the other. And we have seen how parents act who love their children too much. Their children become their masters, and they run after them, and they serve them, and they dare not displease them. And they make fools of themselves for their children, and sometimes they pauperize themselves for them. And the moderns would have God do the same thing. They would have God love us so much that he becomes unprincipled, that he degrades himself, that he becomes so much their familiar that he is their sidekick. And having reduced him to chummy familiarity, the principle of familiarity breeds contempt has gone into effect. Having rendered him in their own minds contemptible, they proceed to show him contempt. And they do everything to show, to prove, that they are not afraid of him anymore, that they have no respect for him anymore, and they continue to say, you can do anything you want with this God, and he will still love you. And you can do anything you want with this God, and he will still save you. You can do anything you want to him. He loves you so much that there is nothing you can do to shake off his love, and there's nothing you can do to cause him not to love you more. And this is where we have come. So that now it has become a kind of a contest among the so-called new Christians to show how they can play with God. They can trifle with him. And they can mock him. They make a veritable buffoon out of him to show that no matter what they do, God still loves them. They can throw off their wives. They can fornicate at their heart's content. They can show absolutely no reverence either toward him, toward anyone, including themselves. They can reduce all things to a vulgarity. And this is supposed to be real religion and real love in action. The result of it, of course, is the total de-civilization and de-cultivation of all things, so that they themselves don't even respect themselves. They respect nothing. And they are bold enough to imagine that God will endure all. Because we are so aware of this, it is important that we have terrific sorrow at the sight of it, that we never cease to be indignant at it. It is very important that we grieve that God is so degraded. We don't get used to it, nor become reconciled to it. And we beg Almighty God in Christ, we beg him that we might be the very opposite, that our hearts be a tabernacle for him, that our bodies be a tabernacle for him, that our lives be acts of worship of him and acts of most profound reverence for him. This is what we want to do, and we want everything that we do about our worship to be truly worshipful. We want not to humble him, but to exalt him. We want to humble ourselves so that the great gap between him and ourselves be accentuated, that we never think that we're anything but sinful creatures, and that he is the transcendent God, all beautiful and infinite in every of his attributes. And we want to express this to him when he comes to us in Holy Communion. We want to tell him that we are aware of the condescension of it, and that we can never be worthy of it, that our whole lives are supposed to be, whatever effort they can be, to be worthy of even a notice of his. And we also express our need of him by saying we're totally dependent upon him for his grace, for his light, for his truth, for his protection, for his insight, and we beg him that he would be to us truly a God whom we need, and that we would reverence him and love him as only God deserves. This is the beauty of this feast, that while on the one hand we celebrate and strive to find words to express his condescension of love, at the same time we implore him that we might be worthy of him, and that above all things we might truly love him as he deserves. He is love itself, and the only response to love is total love.